Welcome back, friends, to our second year with The Endless Shelf. I'm your host, Renata. Each episode, a book creator or lover shares a book they love with us. But before they tell us all about it, I need to ask them some questions to launch their imagination into outer space. Now, for those of you who listened to our final episode for 2023, you might be wondering, were we ever coming back? Well, we are. Are you happy to hear from us again? We're going to have lots of great new episodes coming your way this year. But Renata, I hear you ask, how is that elf feeling? Well, we got that little elf to head into a medical book on the shelf, and they were able to provide some sneeze-stopping magic and some advice about being tested for allergies to things in the human world before he visits again. So, there won't be any allergy-riddled elves coming to interrupt this episode. How about we meet our first guest for 2024? Eileen O'Healy is a kids book author who lives in southeast Queensland with her family, including a pet dog named Snorkel. She has a day job at the local planetarium and can speak lots of languages and has written quite a few kids books so far. These include some junior fiction series, Penny the Pencil and the Kitten Caboodle series, some early readers and middle grade fiction series, Pep Squad. Today she's here to share her latest book, due to launch later this week. We're over the moon to have you on the show, Eileen.
Hello, it's lovely to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to bring you into the cave. I'm sorry if it's a bit cool and drippy in here, but that's just the way caves are.
Mm. Yeah, I've got my poncho.
Oh, good. That'll keep you dry.
Yeah.
So, what do you love about kids' books?
I just love how much imagination there is in the books. And I also love how much extra imagination kids put into the books when they read them. So sometimes when they're much younger, they're guided by the pictures. But as they get older, the pictures get less and less and their imagination has to fill in all the gaps. Mm. But even with the pictures, it's just working on overdrive. So it's really cool.
Yeah, that's right. In addition to being a fantastic kids book author, you have a very interesting job. Could you tell us a little about what you do?
Yeah, so my day job is working at the planetarium. And a planetarium started off as a big room underneath a bowl. And on the inside of that bowl, you would project images of the night sky. So you could show all the stars that are above. And they have evolved as technology has evolved. So instead of having one projector in the center, the one that I work at has six projectors around the outside, and we can actually play movies in there. So there are some very cool movies about space. Some of them are made in Australia. There's one about a very naughty dog called Tycho. And we have another one about some aliens who go looking for the perfect little planet to have their holiday on. And after that, we always like to show the audience the night sky.
Wow. We have been a few times, an incredible experience. My children want to go straight back in each time, which is a little much.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I highly recommend it for our listeners.
Yeah, oh, lovely.
If a butterfly doesn't have wings, is it still a butterfly?
No, it could be a butterwalk.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think butterflies would do more sort of a calypso dance.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, so, like a little wriggle. So, very sassy.
Buttercalypso.
Can you tell us about your very first published kids book, starting with Penny the Pencil, I believe?
Yes. So it's a bit of a tricky story because I was living in Germany at the time. And
wow.
I wanted to concentrate on my writing, but then I thought, I should probably do some work as well. So I got a job teaching English, and myself and another friend were sort of tag teaming, teaching these two young girls English. They were both from different countries in South America. So their common language was Spanish, but they were living in Munich with their grandmother while the father of one and the stepfather of the other, so the same man, was in Kuwait. trying to get housing organized for them, and they were going to go to the international school in Kuwait. So they needed to learn English. And they didn't speak German, so we had no common language. And their English, they had very little exposure to English. And even when I talked about things in the classroom, like a pen or a book, they didn't know the words. But they loved drawing and colouring in. And so I thought it would be good to write a story about pens and pencils and books and make them the main characters so that they're learning those words. And that's why I thought of Penny the Pencil.
I love it. And it's been such a helpful series for so many kids, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, the weirdest thing, though, was because I wrote it before I'd had my own children. And then I was reading it one night to my son as he was going to sleep. And he has this very weird thing. And a few kids do it. I've noticed not just my family. It's not just a weird thing that my family does. But they will cover their ears but keep their eyes open when there's a scary part in a film. Whereas Ooh. I just make my whole face wince up and cover my eyes so I don't see anything. But he was actually covering his ears while the bad guy in my book was doing bad things. And I thought, oh, that must be quite an effective bad guy. I'd never really thought about that before.
You really gave some meat and action to that villain, hey?
Yeah.
My goodness. What is your favourite part of the story-making process?
I like a lot of it. Like, it is really good. I like when I get these ideas, and generally it's a character that I think of, and then I think I'll do a story about that character. And it could be that they have a particular physical look, or it could be a pun that makes their name, like Kit and Caboodle. Mm-hmm. Puns are very big. I would say good puns, but maybe they're not. But I do enjoy puns.
We love puns here.
Yeah. I also like learning things because even writing a 500-word picture book, there's a little bit of research that often goes into it.
Yeah.
But the good thing about being a picture book author is that, or even junior fiction, is someone else draws the pictures, and it's just like seeing the story again for the first time.
Mm.
Well, it's a brand new sort of story with those pictures, so that's pretty exciting.
Nice. Do dragonflies breathe fire?
As in inhale it or exhale?
Exhale, I think, traditionally.
It would...
Well, both. I mean, if they do the other way around, I would love to know that too, I suppose.
Well, it would depend on how humid it is, because it's quite humid up here in Queensland. Yes. So with that much moisture in the air, it's hard to see whether they breathe out any flames.
What does your writing routine look like?
Oh, there is no routine. If I'm working on a longer work, then I will read over what I've written the day before and do some editing, and that just gets me into the swing of things. Mm. I'm not a great planner, so
more of a pantser.
Yeah.
Tie the seat of your pants, yep.
Yeah, a little bit more like that. But I also tend to work on a few different projects at once. Mm-hmm. So if I'm feeling like I'm getting bogged down with something, then I can work on something else. And the other thing is too that it's easy to edit. Like, if there's something there, I can work from something. So even if I'm having a bad day when I don't feel that creative, I just try and write something down because I know that I'll fix it up and it'll get me into the groove for things the next day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing I do is I tend to write longhand. So I actually write in books my first draft, because I'm quite a visual person, so then I can cross bits out, edit over with different coloured pen, but I never actually lose anything. It's not like on the computer where you fully erase what you've written.
Yes, yes, that's a really good way to do it.
And then because
you're making lots of notes.
Yeah. Mm. And then because you have to submit things to publishers in electronic format, by the time you're typing it in, it's already at the at least the second, if not third or fourth draft phase by the time it gets onto the screen for the first time. So I find that very helpful.
That is a very clever way to do it. Nicely done. Hmm. We hear that you speak a few languages.
Which languages
can you speak?
So at primary school, we had the option of learning Italian or German. Mm-hmm. So I chose German. Then the German teacher, who was only there 1 or 2 days a week, got a full-time job and explained to us that she had to take it. So went from learning German to learning Italian. And then at high school, we had to learn both Italian and French. And I thought French was just so wonderful. But then they changed it so that French had to be done by correspondence and they would only continue teaching Italian in class.
Wow.
And then I went to Indonesia with a friend and I liked learning Indonesian. And I thought, oh, languages, I really like languages. Maybe I should do an arts degree as well as my science degree. So I thought I'll do Italian and then I'll do something really hard. I'll do Japanese.
So, wow.
So I did Italian and Japanese as well. And then we went to live in Germany. So I did get to build on my German and we traveled around a bit. So I was had very, very basic travel check.
Right.
Which is not a very common language. My advice to any language learners is learn Spanish because it ports easily to Italian and Portuguese and French and Romanian.
Wow.
Plus all of most of South America speaks
yeah.
it and Central America as well. So it's a lot of countries and it's very similar to other languages.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
Excellent. So which one won, Juan or Juan?
Juan, of course.
Okay. All right. Good. Well done. Well done to Juan. Do you have big dreams for your future as an author?
I think every author does because that's what we do. Each book is something that we dream up. And so I think every author's dream of their own success is like the ultimate thing that they can do. Yeah, I like going around to like actually presenting my books live to people. So Ooh. Going to schools for book week is fun, doing
yeah.
library workshops.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
Beautiful. And what sort of things do you do in these workshops?
Well, for this particular book, Aisling and Amelia, we read through the book, we practice some of the ballet moves, mm-hmm. and then we make some paper dolls.
Oh, that's a lovely activity.
Yeah, and we've got some split pins as well. And so the participants can choose whether they want to make an able-bodied dancer or a dancer with a limb difference, whether they want it to be a female or a male dancer. And, yeah, we've just got to be very careful with the split pins because they're a choking Ooh. Hazard.
Well, yes. So,
yes.
You don't want any toddlers running off with them, hey?
No, we don't.
If a wizard knocked on your door and asked for help to mix a potion, what would you do?
Well, I'd get a beaker.
Oh, yes.
Because he'd probably need something to put it in. And I would also tell him he had to duck so that his hat wouldn't get stuck
oh, yes.
in the doorway.
Yes.
I'd probably actually call my children so they could come and meet the wizard.
Yeah, that would be a very exciting experience and they could watch how it works.
Yeah.
Learn on the job.
We might need to ask what the potion's for.
Hmm.
Because I don't want to enable an evil wizard.
Yes, yes. You'd have to check his intentions, wouldn't you?
Mm.
We don't want any sneaky business going on.
Okay.
You've written some great book series for kids over the years. How do you know when a story is bigger than a single book?
Now, this is tricky because the very first book I wrote, Penny the Pencil, her arch enemy is a big black texter.
Mm.
And this may be a spoiler, but she effectively makes him unalive at the end.
Okay.
And
right.
so
destroys.
Yes. And the publisher said, they sent a form and one of the questions was, do you have ideas for other books in this series? And I thought, they don't want me to say no here. So I had a very stressful 2 days coming up with ideas for other stories in the series, particularly when the vanquished bad guy could be resurrected and come back. And then be vanquished again.
Goodness.
After he was made unalive the 6th time, that was pretty
yeah,
much it.
Yeah, 6 will do it. 3, yeah. maybe, but 6 is the magic number. You've got to really make sure they're gone. Are you ready to talk about your book now?
I am.
Yay!
So this book, Aisling and Amelia, it's very, very cute.
It is.
Like the best ideas, it was not my idea.
Okay.
So, well, it kind of was. But my daughter, who is now in her teens, would always come home from her ballet class missing a shoe. So I was forever emailing a teacher saying, next week's class, can you please ask all the girls to check how many shoes they've got in their bag? Because one of them has three, and one of them always had the extra shoe. And I don't know how many times this happened, and the teacher said, could this be the subject of your next book? And I thought, could it? Because I like a challenge. And then I thought, okay, well, if we have a dancer who doesn't wear her shoes, so she hops around everywhere by choice. And then I thought, what would happen if you had a dancer who didn't have a second foot to put a shoe on? How would he or she be able to dance? And how would they mingle with the other dancers? Would they be accepted? And how would the other dancers react to someone who looked so different to them?
That is a great question.
Yeah, they are all good questions, I thought. And also, I wanted to do it from the perspective of the able-bodied dancer, because many people might not know how to react when they see someone who looks so obviously different to them.
Yeah.
And they might treat them in a special way that's not necessary.
That's right.
Or they might disregard them, which would be heartbreaking. So I wanted to do it from her perspective.
Yeah, and come at it with this curiosity that I'm sure that kids will be able to connect with and go on that journey with her.
Yeah.
So who is our protagonist here?
Our protagonist here is Aisling, and she is a budding ballerina. She doesn't always pack her shoe.
Clearly.
For her classes. And so we've got sort of the dual protagonists. We've also got Amelia. Mm-hmm. And I chose the name Amelia because there is a condition called Amelia where babies are born without completely formed limbs.
Right.
So I thought that's the perfect name for Aisling's friend.
Nice. Yeah. I really like that special touch. That's really clever. And so what happens when they first meet?
Well, when they first meet, Aisling's a bit disappointed, not with Amelia, but she was expecting to have a solo class so she could do a solo performance at the end of year concert. But when she gets to the ballet studio, there's another student already in the room, so she's not very happy about that. She wanted it to be her special moment. She didn't want to share the limelight with anyone. So she's a bit disappointed at first. And then she's a bit jealous because despite not having a complete limb, Amelia actually has better dancing technique than Aisling.
So she uses a prosthesis, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And she's very skilled with it.
Yes.
So she's probably had it since she was quite little.
Yeah. And she would have had like adjustments as well as she grew.
And that may have given her an advantage for being very specifically skilled in how she moves her legs.
Yeah.
Nice. And so how do we progress with this relationship as they get to know each other?
Yeah. Well, Aisling feels bad for staring after the first time they meet. So the next class, we already know earlier in the story that Aisling is a big fan of chocolate and ladybirds and playing hopscotch. So the next class, she brings some chocolate to share. And then the class after that, Amelia brings her pet ladybird to show Aisling. So we're seeing that they do have lots of things in common.
Lovely.
And they develop a friendship that way.
That's beautiful. What a lovely thing to add. And that connection between dance and having a relationship with the person that you're dancing with is such a nice way to mirror that.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. And so how did you know lots about ballet dancing particularly?
Oh, this is where the research comes in.
Yes.
So I very kindly asked the teacher if she could sit down with me and actually choreograph a dance that the girls would be able to do.
Lovely.
And she was using a lot of ballet terminology. Something I really like is alliteration. So that is when lots of words start with the same letter. And so,
is it lots of the letter P?
Well, she does pirouette in the playground and she does plie in her pajamas.
That's cute. But,
yeah, so she's got a few other moves that she does on different days and in different places. Yeah, so the teacher was very helpful with those, and I actually named the teacher in the book after her.
Oh, lovely. That's beautiful. What a wonderful tribute. I bet she feels very special, and she'll want to have a copy of that to show everybody.
Oh, definitely.
Especially her students.
Yeah, because she teaches at a few different places.
That's really cool. So are we leading up towards a specific performance that they're going to do together?
We are.
Yeah.
We are leading up to a specific performance, and Aisling has had experience doing this before, but Amelia's quite nervous, but Aisling shows her a technique that she uses to calm herself down, and they do the performance so well that they get a standing ovation at the end. But Aisling notices Amelia is looking a bit sad or a bit worried, and then she asks what the problem is, and Amelia says, well, now we've done our performance, are we still going to hang out? Are we still going to be friends?
Eileen?
Yes?
I thought you said that you had a pet dog named Snorkel.
I do.
So is this not your duck?
What? A duck?
Yes. Look at this little duck over here.
Oh my goodness.
There's actually... Oh, my
goodness. It's not just one duck.
There's six of them.
Holy moly.
Whoa, I do not know what to do with ducks. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I have had experience with ducks before.
Oh, really?
And just in case, I brought along a bacon and toffee sandwich. So we will be able to look, see how they're following me around.
Oh, my goodness. That's so clever. Oh, my goodness. I had no idea they liked bacon. There you go.
Yeah. Is there a pond somewhere nearby?
There is over the hill. I think we'll have to stop the podcast and go get them over there because it's not really appropriate in here. They might fall down the plot hole.
We might have to stop it soon. They're getting very close to my bacon sandwich.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. See you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Endless Shelf. Renata can't host the podcast right now because she and Eileen are taking six little ducks out one day over the hills and far away. Make sure you look out for Eileen O'Healy's books in stores and at libraries near you. Join us back here next time for a fresh episode. It's endless fun. Believe it when I saw those ducks. For a moment I thought I was going quackers.